Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing? Fine, how are you?
I'm good.
Lovely. Great to have you, and truly appreciate that you have agreed to spend this week with us. Really, really appreciate. Blessings to you.
It's a pleasure.
Lovely. So this week, we in our Scripture in Motion segment, which is at 3:30 on a daily basis, we're looking at a peacemaking in personal and a professional life. And so if you are joining us and listening in, we're speaking to Pastor R. Matacha, who's going to be talking to us about this topic. And you're welcome to call us on +27 734 703 520. Now, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." That's according to Matthew 5, verse 9. Into a world that is ugly with violence and hate, Christ sends us as peacemakers. Now, what exactly does that mean? And so this week we are going to be discussing with the pastor, and is going to be unpacking the practicality of making peace in the world that is addicted to violence. Pastor, what is the biblical definition of peace? Is it simply the absence of conflict? Do let us know.
Thank you so much. The biblical definition of peace is comes from the Hebrew word shalom and the Greek word eirin. They mean wholeness, completeness, harmony, and unity, contentment, and trust and reliance on God.
Because when you talk peace, we know that it's absence of violence, it is absence of conflict, etc. So it looks like it's much more complicated biblically. Am I hearing you right?
No, it's not that complicated. I'll break it down for you so that you understand.
Okay, please do break it down, because I want to understand the difference then, in light of what you are saying, between peace and quiet. You know?
Okay, so according to the biblical definition, peace is something that flows from inside, regardless of the external forces. So peace is a state of inner calm, contentment, harmony, regardless of what is happening around us, the external forces. And then quiet is the absence of noise or disturbance. If you check the dictionary definition, peace is freedom from disturbance, which is what we tend to quiet here.
Yeah.
So according to the Bible, you cannot give peace if you don't have it within you. And you cannot have it if it has not been given to you.
A peaceful home and a quiet home, is there a difference?
Yes.
Mm.
In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." So Jesus' definition of peace is different from the world's definition. And then a peaceful home can be a quiet, maybe quiet, but quietness does not necessarily mean or guarantee peace.
Okay, all right.
A peaceful home can still have noise, but the atmosphere remains calm and loving.
Mm, but not peaceful.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Now, can I mean, I think you've answered this in part. If noise can exist in a peaceful place, and you did say yes, or if silence in a chaotic place can exist?
Yes. Let me give you an example of noise that can exist in a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's take an example of a family that love each other,
mm-hmm.
That have children. They will be noisy of children playing around, shouting, singing, crying, you know. But there will be peace at that home,
mm-hmm.
despite the noise.
Mm, mm, mm.
So there could be noises of joy in a peaceful environment.
Ah, okay.
And then silence and chaos can also exist. Silence can exist in a chaotic place. Let's say the very same family are not in harmony with each other. Maybe someone is cheating.
Mm.
There is conflict and they are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
A person may choose not to engage. Though angry, they may choose to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of a turmoil or shouting at each other, one may choose to keep quiet, and they may be quiet. Yet, inside each one of them, there will be tension, and the whole atmosphere, even the children can feel it, that there's no noise here, there's silence, but there is chaos.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that. Now, is it actually then important at all to differentiate between peace and quiet, or it's not necessary, it's all the same?
I think it's necessary. I think it's important because one, like you said, peace is not just external. Peace is an internal state that can coexist with external noise or chaos. So you can be a peaceful person, you can be at peace in a situation that does not sanction, or in an unpeaceful situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you check a quick biblical example that I can give you is Mark chapter 4, where Jesus tries to cross over to the other side and he's sleeping in a boat. He's tired of teaching the whole day. And as he is sleeping, he has this peace. And yet outside, the wind rages and it disturbs the boat. It disturbs everyone, but it doesn't disturb Jesus because he has peace.
Mm.
So peace is not just external. And then quiet does not also guarantee that peace will always be there. Mm.
Mm.
You can be in very quiet environments that are filled with tension and conflict.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard people say, I'm leaving him? And you ask, did he beat him? Did you beat you? No. Did he not give you food? No. What is the problem? There is no peace. Because it's always quiet, but there's tension. So peace, quietness does not guarantee that there will always be peace. Or if you have a quiet environment, then you can be in a peaceful. I can give another example that one can go and stay in very quiet neighborhood, and yet they do not have peace there. And someone is staying in the ghetto where there is so much noise and they have peace.
Yeah, actually, very, very possible. I like what you are saying, that they could actually be in a very noisy ghetto and yet they are actually peaceful. Now, how do we then define, conflict? Is it simply a difference in ideas, values or principles, or is it something much more deeper than that?
Conflict differs depending on the angle through which someone is coming from. So yes, conflict is differences in values, differences in principles, differences in interests.
Mm.
It always stems from fundamental differences. And then two, conflict stems from perceived threats or misunderstandings. It can also arise from miscommunication or the so-called threats that I mentioned. So yes, it's the conflict from the religious point of view. Once a person is not in harmony with God, there is conflict already.
Mm. Once a person is not in harmony with God already, that defines some conflict. Wow, interesting. Now, lastly, Pastor, can every conflict be resolved, or are some just meant to be left like that in the air?
Yeah, that's a difficult question, this one.
Mm.
If you read from Matthew chapter 10, let me start by saying, some conflicts can be resolved, but not all.
Okay.
Yeah, not all conflicts can be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Others can be managed. Others can be resolved. Others are necessary to be there. I'll give three tools on conflict resolution.
Okay.
But before we go there, In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says something that shocks. He says, "Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his household." So Jesus himself says he came to send conflict. But mm. in what sense?
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that he came to establish a kingdom, and those who will agree with that kingdom will be in harmony or at peace with him and at peace with each other. But those who do not agree with what he came to establish, then these ones, they will be at conflict with him.
Mm.
How do we resolve the conflict? In the book, Great Controversy, page 46, paragraph 3,
mm.
it says, "Christianity is a system which received and obeyed would spread peace and harmony and happiness throughout the earth. The religion of Christ will unite in close brotherhood all who accept its teachings. It was the mission of Jesus to reconcile men to God and thus men to one another. But the world at large are under the control of Satan, Christ's bitterest foe. The gospel presents to them principles of life which are wholly at variance with their habits and desires, and they rise in rebellion against it. They hate the purity which reveals and condemns their sins,
mm.
and they persecute and destroy those who urge upon them its just and holy claims. It is in this sense, because the exalted truth it brings occasion, hatred, and strife, that the gospel is called a sword." So this is how the gospel brings conflict. So yes, not all conflicts can be solved. Let me give you one more example.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 15, if you read from verse 36 to verse 39, it speaks about Paul and Barnabas. They are both called by God. They are both working for God.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing mission for God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they do not agree on certain fundamental principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other one wants to take one mark. The other one wants to take the other one, and they do not agree. Did they resolve it? No. Everyone went their way, but no one was wrong. I want you to understand this point because it's very important. Mm. Disagreeing or having a conflict does not necessarily mean that we should look for a winner.
Aha. I love that.
Aha. We should be looking for what is right, not who is right.
Mm.
So here are the three truths. One, when we are trying to resolve conflict, we must check one, effective communication. Open, honest, and respectful dialogue. That's the first one.
Mm.
The second one, we must try to understand others and not seek to be understood. And then three, we must be willing to compromise and forgive and find common ground and extend grace as long as the compromise does not do conflict with God's desire.
Yeah. That's powerful. That's very, very powerful, man. Pastor, this is very good, man. But I got to let you go because our time is literally almost up. But I must thank you so much for coming through for this very first installment of this week's discussions. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you, sir.
Lovely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.